CliffCentral.com.
You're listening to The Bounce Show with Byron Karpinski. I'm Hugh Bladen, and it's on CliffCentral.com.
It's Cliff Central, Blades, and it's Ben Karpinski.
Why didn't you tell me? Ben Karpinski on CliffCentral.com.
Today is a very, very special show. Today we're going to change things up a little bit. Just put in a talk properly first. Today is going to be a courtroom trial. Yeah, big drama here. Something needs to be discussed. Evidence needs to be put forward. Verdicts need to be made. Rulings should be had. And it comes down to one player and one player only. That player is Farhan Behardin. He is on trial today here on The Bounce Show. It's the People versus Farhan Behardin, which is quite a mouthful, I know. And I'm sure it will not be made into a Netflix series, but it is something to be discussed. Now, you know, I like a joke as much as the next person. And I started a hashtag a while ago called Behardin Time. Now, the reason I did this was because there was this long debate and furious anger all over Twitter about people saying, oh, David Miller is so overrated, Behardin should play. Then on the other side, people were saying, what? That's absolute bullshit. Miller's three times the player Behardin is playing. He is. So I thought to coin the hashtag Behardin Time at like Miller Time. And then it was just a laugh that I had. But it really has kind of kicked on because Behardin has now played 56 ODIs for the Proteas. He's captained the T20 side. I mean, it's not really a joke. Like I find it funny. And to be completely frank and honest up front, I don't have too much wrong with the guy. I think he deserves his place through the fact that he's been great domestically for quite a while. And this is how the systems work, right? You don't pick a guy because you don't like him. You pick him on experience, talent, potential, domestic form, whatever. This is the dilemma that selectors have. And this is why being a selector must be really, really difficult in professional sport, because it's so easy for us to sit there on the couch with our beers and go, oh, that guy's cuck. And granted, that day he might be very cuck. Or maybe a few days before that, maybe a few weeks before that. But this is the thing. We get to be so subjective about these kind of things. So that's going to be the big show today. I've got an actual lawyer taking me on. So basically, I'm going to be taking the role of prosecution, as in Farhan Behardin should not be there. And then I've got Lue, who is someone I've chatted to a lot on social media over the years. Probably seen him four or five times, as you do. He is a lawyer, and he'll be defending Behardin in question. It's pretty exciting, huh? All while sultry music plays in the background. Yeah, I didn't have much time to prep a song today, so I'm sorry. Anyway, before we get to that, though, there's some really cool talking points. And then, oh, of course, we've got a judge as well, but I'll introduce the judge in a bit. And when obviously with a big court case like this, you can't get anybody in. So I've brought in the big guns. A completely impartial judge. He took an oath on the way into studio. I didn't see it, but I'll take his word for it. So before we get into the big meaty section of the show today, we might as well actually say hello. Sorry, I'm much better than when it's just me. But yeah, morning. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hi, thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you do know there is my opponent today, my lawyer friend. I will not talk to the judge just yet.
Thank you.
Right, so let's stop messing around. So Wade Vaniekerk, right? You know this guy is the most incredible person basically in sport right now. And I'm not just saying it because he's South African and because he's a sprinter and I love the sport of sprinting. The dude is doing the most incredible thing. So we know he's a 400-meter world record holder, right? Last night in Ostrava, which is a place in the Czech Republic, he ran 30.81 for the 300 meters. That is the fastest anyone's ever run over 300 meters that is a human. So Michael Johnson had this record, just like he had the record for the 400 and the 200. Wade's taken the 400 from him. He's just taken the 300 from him. 200 belongs to Bolt, but I reckon Wade's going to do that too. The guy's just getting better and better and better. So he's got those two records. In the 200, he's already run a 19.84 this year, which is incredible. To go with his 100 meter of 9.94, the guy is amazing. He's an absolute, absolute superstar. And I think people are starting to realize because, you know, Bolt's on his way out, this really is a swan song this summer in Europe. So Wade Vaniekerk is now, I mean, I don't want to tempt fate or maybe blow too much smoke up his ass, but he's been seen as the new face of athletics. And you could not find a more deserving guy. In rugby, the British and Irish Lions kicked off over the weekend, and predictably, they ran into a bit of a PK. Yeah. The All Blacks are the best rugby team in the whole world. People were saying they could be rusty. What's the back line going to do? Has Hansen made the wrong calls? Well, bollocks to that. 30-15, and it was actually flattering in the end to the Lions, who scored a try after the hooter. The Lions looked shell-shocked. Didn't have the intensity you'd expect from a touring team like that. And, well, they've made some changes, a couple of changes to the team. This week, they decided to drop the one guy who was doing all right defensively against the All Blacks, Teo. He's gone, which kept Sonny Bill under wraps the whole game. He's out of it. Owen Farrell has now moved. I think his name's Owen. I don't know. Farrell's now moved to inside centre. Sexton will be the fly half. And I'm guessing double-digit loss again for the British and Irish Lions this weekend. Basically, they're playing in Wellington, so you know the weather's going to be crap. That could be the only saving grace for the tourists. Just kind of even the playing field out a bit. In Super Rugby, well, Warren Whiteley is now injured for, well, much longer than 2 to 3 weeks expected. He missed out in the box third win over France, so the groin was just problematic and he had to pull out. So Ibn Elisabeth took over the captaincy. Of course, the Box winning that one comfortably again for a 3-0 whitewash. But Whiteley will be out for the rest of the Super Rugby season. Also out is Pat Lambie. Earlier in the week on the Gareth Cliff Show, I spoke about the fact that Pat, you know, it's getting to a point now where he might be drooling at dinner. You know, he took a big hit to the head. He hasn't really bounced back from it. And it's not looking good. He's 26 years old. He's got his whole life ahead of him. One more knock? Yeah, who knows? Might need special parking after that, and you don't want to see that for such a special talent. In F1, there was, well, there was handbags, fisticuffs, close on, Hamilton versus Vettel. It's an exciting season that Ferrari has actually got something car-wise this year, and there was a bit of a scuffle between the two. Vettel then basically pushed into Hamilton after a little fender bender, and Vettel could be under more sanctions here. He could be facing a fine, maybe even a suspension. Lots of speculation right now. I just think it's good for the sport. There is a rivalry again. And let's be honest, these Formula One guys, they're basically just rich jockeys. They're short guys. They've got short fuses, very temper fools. And these little skirmishes are going to happen more and more. Confed Cup, Germany versus Mexico for one semi-final. That'll take place today, the 29th of June. And, well, Portugal lost last night to Chile. Chile, the South American champions, took it to the penalties. The Chilean goalkeeper saved 3 in a row. Absolutely unheard of. Incredible, incredible result that. So much so that Ronaldo couldn't even take a penalty. Game was lost already. The golf, Jordan Spieth became the second youngest man to ever, in the whole world of playing golf, to win 10 PGA wins. That is amazing. Of course, second to Tiger Woods. And I think people give him a lot of flack because, you know, Jordan Spieth, he was so good. He won so much. Then he kind of like leveled off. And, you know, he was world number one. They dropped down to like top five. And people forget how good this guy really is. He really is amazing. I know there's some other huge names in golf right now, but 10 PGA wins, and he's only like 23 or something stupid like that. It's just amazing. And then the Lady Proteas, the Proteas ladies team. By the way, do you know what the official title is? Is it Women Proteas? Women Proteas. I feel like I'm discriminating or I'm feeling something patronizing when I say Lady Proteas. The Women's Proteas team, they got off to a good start in their World Cup. They beat Pakistan. They tried to go full Proteas in the middle with 3 runouts, but they managed to get it together in the end. And then the second game versus New Zealand got washed out. That's because they're playing in England. So that's all the big talking points right now from the world of sport, but we need to get into the trial of the century. I really cannot hype this up any more than I already have. Ferhan Behardin, is he capable of playing international cricket, or is he deserving of playing international cricket? Law music. Yeah, we're taking this very, very seriously. And right now, we're all going to introduce us. I'm going to introduce you to the judge. All rise for the Honourable Simi Aref.
Thank you. It's so great. Thank you. I finally get to use my law degree for something. I knew this would be the pinnacle of my career.
Well, you know, Simi, like I was saying, for the really big things, we really need to get the big guy in.
Thank you. You know, I'm here. Heavy hitter. Can clear the boundary rope. They call me the Behardin of the law fraternity, to be honest.
As cricket judges go, I mean, this is it. This really is.
And I just want to say that I'm not going to be biased this time because I took a vow at the beginning of 2017 to not say anything bad about any cricketer.
Well, that's exactly it. So, Loi, earlier on, you thought the judge might be impartial, not obviously be very, very far from impartial. Mm. But here we are.
So I went on to Simi's Twitter profile.
Yeah,
it's always a bad idea. But carry on.
Yeah. I thought I could recall many tweets slating Bearden, and I thought I'd find them quite easily. And then I found that as I went down the timeline, there wasn't much up front.
Pushing now, for a mistrial right off the bat.
And now I see that the reason for that is that he's taken a vow for 2017. So I'm sure if I go into 2016 that...
You don't have to go far. I can show you a picture I posted saying this is how close I can get to BID.
Getting Simi Aref to be the judge in this is like getting Bryce Lawrence to referee a game between us and the All Blacks. So
have you been colouring your hair as well?
No, Doc. I'm dying for greys.
Oh, it looks dark. It looks handsome. It looks good.
Hey, bro. I'm just living my best life.
Oh, such a judge's wig.
Yeah, oh, no. Damn it. Sure. I tried. But today I am going to be impartial because Ben is actually the person that made me believe in Behardin for such a short amount of time.
Well, we'll have none of that in this courtroom. I am for the prosecution today.
Okay, well, I'm here for you guys. I'm here to listen to the arguments.
Okay, so this is how it's going to work. It's very much like a court case. There's going to be opening statements. Mm-hmm. I, of course, will be representing the prosecution. Lewell will be defending his client, Feon Biadin, who could not be in chambers today.
Yeah.
He's, of course, got other things to do, like his life. but what we're going to do is we're going to have a slight little toss to see who kicks off, and the opening statements will be then followed by the various cases put to Honorable Judge Aref today. So, the way is this is being very transparent. We are flipping a coin. Sorry, we're twisting a pen.
Yeah, twisting a pen.
Okay, here we go to see who has opening dig. It is you. Way, what would you like to do? Battle or send me in, or you want to receive?
Right. I think ordinarily the people would put forward their case first. But seeing as this isn't a normal case.
Oh, yeah. So he's an actual lawyer.
I'm going to...
Wow. No, that's why he's wearing that short sleeve type of jersey. It's everything where, like, he shows his shirt and he's warm. Okay.
So I'm going to have first go at this. So, as Ben said, there's been a bit of social media on this. There's a lot of hate directed towards Feon Biadin. Unfortunately, I couldn't get instructions from my client just before coming on show, but I did a little bit of prep to build his case. The case is essentially that the fact that Biadin has played 30-odd T20s and 50-odd ODIs is not without merit. If you were to go on Twitter, one would swear that Biadin was one of the worst cricketers that's ever stepped foot on a cricket field. And the case really that's being put forward isn't that necessarily he deserves to be in the starting 11. What I'm saying is that it's not ridiculous that he's got 50 ODIs and he hasn't performed badly at all. And really, on Twitter, the outrage is really unwarranted. So I've looked at his stats. I think let me start with the ODIs first, and you will see that...
Sorry, a slight objection here, Judge. Yes, these are opening statements. They need to be quite concise. I just hope
I'm waiting for the intention to be made, and I only hear that it's about Twitter, so that's all I'm hearing so far. Are you going to do stats now? Maybe the...
Sorry, if I'm just doing an opening statement, so then I will... my case will be built on the fact that his stats, particularly in recent history, demonstrates that he's performed very admirably. He's performed actually very well on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's justified his place in the starting lineup. We'll have comparative stats with other international superstars.
Great.
And my case will demonstrate that the fact that he's in and around the Proteus setup is completely warranted.
Thank you, sir.
Your Honor, on behalf of the people of Twitter, the people of Bethlehem, the people of South Africa, the people of Paarl, Pretoria, wherever you may be, I believe it's my responsibility today to bring into the spotlight that Feon Biadin has, I wouldn't say overstayed his welcome, but we need to acknowledge that this country is full of potential and he is not helping that. It is not just my role today to get this message across. I think it's all of our roles. For all of us to acknowledge this now, and as for a country to move past this chapter in our cricketing lives, here is a man who, as my opponent today,
yes,
the Honourable Away, did say he has played 56 ODIs.
Yes.
And that is great. But is it really? How can you not become a household name for good purposes on 56 ODIs? He has played all
those
matches.
Is this your opening
statement? I'm coming to the conclusion here, Your Honour. Of all those matches, he has still yet to raise his bat with a century for the Proteas. And that, I think, just goes to show that this is a man who we can't afford in this team anymore. He's not good enough for what we should be as the Proteas. And today, in this very courtroom, I shall prove that.
Brilliant. As all court cases should go, I've never agreed that there should be a toss of the coin or flip of a pen. It should always be the prosecution goes first. And I think we should switch it around and you should start, Ben.
May I just say that for the record?
Yes.
That
you have a laptop. That, great.
The judge or ref nodded a lot more during Ben's opening statement.
Well, I don't know how you're going to prove that.
I don't think you should read
that. I don't know how you're going to prove that here in a podcast.
And yeah. I just want to find out that should we appeal after this
matter? There'll be no leave to appeal.
Do we appeal simply by saying, how's that? Or
oh, I do like a good cricket joke, though.
Took me 4 days to write that.
Oh, I've spent my whole career and I didn't write that one. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, no. But there will be no room for appeal. This is, I think we have about 40 minutes left.
All right. Well, seeing as I'm going to take the stage.
Please.
Your Honour, the people of the court, I would like to present my first finding against Mr. Bayardin in the case. And that is just that he is far too conservative and he is just too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know people might say that it's just hearsay and they might have a point. But here he is standing next to his pool. And this is where I'd like to draw the attention of the judge and jury.
Yes.
Just have a look at my pool, which is pretty clean and I'm very proud of it. Normally it gets dirty through the winter, but I've made a pact this particular winter to keep it clean so that when summer comes around, we can definitely hit the pool and have a few pool parties. PG rated, of course.
Now, you're telling me that a man who only aspires to having PG rated pool parties and the pH value of that pool is more important than getting ladies round, and he's single. How is a man... I mean, his priorities all over the place. I've just got to make this perfectly clear. Cricket is a cutthroat business, right? You need to know split decisions. Go out there. You've got to be authoritative. Here is a man with a history of neglect of his pool. And when he wants to get it back, he gets it back for what reason? PG pool parties. And he is meant to come and finish off an innings. I mean, come on. For me, the beginning...
No objection, or are you just going to... Okay.
I'll let it go.
I mean, like, for me, that this was an open and shut case, but I thought, you know what, this is a guy who's obviously worked hard, but the more I dug, the more I saw, I just don't think he is international material. And you know what, I can actually go a little bit further, Judge, if you will.
Yes, not a problem.
Here he is in his bedroom. Now, this is obviously just an extension of the pool party.
This is my room, and I've just done a little bit of backing, not too much, but... As you can see, there's some nice sun that comes to the room. There's a nice view of the pool. When I mentioned earlier, it's vital to have a good couch in a bachelor pad. It's also vital to have a good bed. And not for the obvious reason that everybody's thinking.
Now, the obvious reason everyone's thinking, he's making some pretty big assumptions of the people he's playing for, essentially, here. So, again, priorities. It does not look like he has a clear mindset towards things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's pushing a very hard PG agenda.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, the Proteas is about identity. It is about playing for this nation. It's about having Protea fire. I'm not seeing any fire here. And again, I think I'll just leave it at that. It's my opening salvo here on the case.
Okay. Are those most of your exhibits? Or?
Oh, no, I have a lot, Your Honor.
You have a lot more?
Okay,
it's fine.
It's just that I'm thinking it more of like, I'll bowl and then he
okay,
bowls.
No worries. I've got you. We'll go point for point. Would the defense like to raise any issues and counter arguments?
Right, so just as a counter argument, the fact that Ben has had to rely on the fact that he has an issue with his pool parties just demonstrates that the statistics... clearly aren't in his favor.
Mm-hmm. In Ben's I don't know favor. What, I mean, is this a character assassination on me here? Because it does nothing.
Ben, sorry.
Here
if you can let the defense speak, you had your term, or your turn with the pool party attack. I'd
right.
Like
so,
hear the defense.
So, in response to Ben's assertion that Verhaan is too conservative. He's too nice. He doesn't have that killer instinct. I'm going to, rather than swing away with kind of speculation, which is what Ben's basing his case on. I'm going to rely on facts.
A YouTube video, I guess.
I like to rely on facts. I feel that facts...
Objection, Your Honor, patronizing.
...strengthen a case.
No. I'll let it go.
And so I'm going to hit back with my first fact for the day, which is that Farhan Badin in one day international cricket has the fourth highest strike rate in Proteas history.
Okay.
So ahead of him is, of course, the mercurial AB de Villiers.
Mm-hmm.
There is David Miller, who's ahead of him, and Albie Morkel. Mm-hmm. So we've got three cricketers in the history of Proteas cricket who have higher strike rates than Farhan Badin. And really, when you're looking at a number six, number seven batsman...
Objection, Your Honor.
Yes.
In winning causes, where is this?
That's where I'm waiting for the defense to take me to, sir.
It's all about context.
Thank you. Thanks. You can continue, sir.
So I'm going to leave my fact at that.
Yes.
We've got somebody whose strike rate is 97.54 over 46 innings.
That's fine.
That is an incredible stat. He's higher than the likes of Quinton de Kock, Hashim Amla, Faf du Plessis, the Adrian Capers.
Mm-hmm.
The Lance Klusners of our time, the Pat Simcoxes. And really, so as my comeback to the fact that he's too conservative, I'm going to base it rather on facts rather than a pool party and state that Farhan's anything but.
That's fine. Prosecution, next point.
Well, I just think it leads nicely into my next point completely. What you're saying is he's got a great strike rate. You got a little bit too caught up in the pool party. There was a deeper meaning there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really was. I was showing that every international cricketer needs layers, right? There's layers to their character and their abilities. How you conduct yourself around the fairer sex and pool parties.
Yes.
Again, there's an issue of truth in there. To your point for the defense there, lovely. It really is nice to have a strike rate like that. But can I draw your attention to 0/100s? The man has no staying power at the crease. He literally does not have any staying power at the crease. Mitchell Marsh. Now, I'm not sure if I can bring this up in this courtroom.
You're more than welcome to.
Mitchell Marsh is, he's the laughingstock of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say he's a disgrace cricketer, but if you are going to throw around massive names, as the defense seems to be doing today, Mitchell Marsh has an ODI 100. I'll take it even further. Mitchell Marsh has a superior ODI batting average.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it further than that. Mitchell Marsh has 100.
Would the prosecution like to also just state where exactly Mitchell Marsh comes in when batting?
Mitchell Marsh is very similar.
Higher or
he
lower?
He comes in a very similar position. He is a batsman that claims to bowl that cannot bowl.
Okay.
So I think as great as it might be for Honourable Mr. Bayardin that his strike rate is so high, it's flash in the pan, shit and giggle kind of stuff, isn't it? Not substantial...
Language, please. It's a court of law.
Apologies, Your Honour.
Thank you.
No substantial innings whatsoever.
Okay.
If you were to go to Bayardin's closest stab towards 100, you got 70.
Against
New Zealand in Potchefstroom. Potchefstroom doesn't count as a city.
Okay.
New Zealand hardly counts as an opponent. And what happened in that match? It was a dark day for South African cricket.
Thank you. Would the defense like to counter?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
I like that manners. Learn it, prosecution.
So unfortunately, what the prosecution fails to mention is that Farhan Badin is playing in a team that has gone to number one in the ODI rankings. And he's coming in after the likes of probably one of the greatest batting lineups in ODI history.
We can concur. Get to the point.
So we've got Quinton de Kock, followed by Hashim Amla.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Faf du Plessis.
Mm-hmm. Objection. He's fluffing here.
I'm waiting for the point. I've got it.
Hiding behind great names.
Sorry. I've got it. Yep. I'm AB listening now. Yes.
JP Duminy and David Miller. So Bowden is coming in with let's say the two opening batsmen are averaging 50 each. Faf's around the mid 40s, AB's in 50s. Miller's just hovering around just below the 40 mark.
Mm-hmm.
JP Duminy's just below the 40 mark. So Bayardin is really not getting the opportunities to bat and demonstrate. He just doesn't get in with time to score 100. If you go through his stats, actually, if you look through his 50s, his 50s have actually come when the batting order has collapsed. He scored one of the finest 50s against Pakistan in trying conditions. I think he came in with the score around 80 for 4, somewhere around there. So when he has had the opportunities, he's actually put a decent score on the board. He's got to 50 and somewhat saved the team. And when you're going through a batting lineup like that and you come in with enough time to score a 50, it's under trying conditions.
Sorry, if I could just steer the conversation to both parties at the moment, is what is Farhan Behadeen's role? And I'd like the defense to start and then the prosecution to see if they could add or dampen what the defense is. Because I'm with the defense at this moment in time, and I need to understand what Behadeen's role is in South African one-day cricket.
Correct.
Or T20 or whatever.
So Behadeen usually comes in near the end.
Yep.
He's probably looking to rotate the strike to the batsman that's in with him, pick up the occasional boundary, and that's reflected by the fact that his strike rate is and a run of ball.
Would
it's
the defense
98.
Suggest maybe that is his role, and the roles of scoring hundreds is not.
That is correct. Thank you, my honor, your honor.
You're not a problem.
I appreciate your guidance on that. So really, when we look at the hundred stat, it's probably a bit misleading. Mitchell Marsh has played in a few experimental Australian teams. He's come in at number 4 on occasion, and he's had those opportunities to score 100. If you want to compare cricketers. Mm-hmm. I've looked at a player who's probably at the moment regarded as one of the leading all-rounders in the world. He's seen mm-hmm. as the next big thing, Ben Stokes. And quite frankly, the stats actually lean towards Behadeen. Stokes' average is slightly higher. He's got an average of 33. Behadeen's at just under 31. But Behadeen's got a higher strike rate. And when we move actually onto the bowling, which I think Behadeen doesn't get his fair share. Stokes' economy rate is at 6.16. We've got Behadeen, who's not bowled.
Would the defense
objection?
Suggest,
objection,
yes.
Your Honor. Ben Stokes bowls at some pretty tough times. Behadeen's thrown the ball because the other guy's gone
will,
up for a
I'll get. I'll get to you right now, Ben. I just want to ask the defense one more question
before
I ask him to wrap up. Is do you believe that Behadeen is an all rounder? Or is he just? I've literally asked one question: is what is his role in this ODI squad? And then I will take it to the prosecution.
So, quite frankly, he comes in at number 6, number 7.
Yes.
I think the question has to be asked when answering this question. You've mm-hmm. got to ask who is better suited for the role. There's no good that we lambaste Behadeen.
I'm agreeing with you
when,
on that one.
In fact, we don't have a suitable replacement.
So you'd
objection.
Say so, I'm coming
multiple
to you.
Multiple approaches.
Okay,
you're
I'm coming
multiple
right now.
Approaches.
I'm coming right now. He's
sorry,
wrapped up.
If is I it? Can just quickly wrap this up.
Quickly.
So Behadeen does bat number 4, number 5 for the Titans. Unfortunately, he finds himself in an unfamiliar role for the Proteas at 6 and 7. And he's actually doing a very good job. And the reason he's filling that gap is because there is nobody else.
And you'd like the bowling stats
and I think the
to
bowling,
be added in.
The bowling is just an extra string to the bow. He comes on if required, but it, obviously it's not his first
yes.
his first obligation.
Prosecution, I've seen you jittery. You can now speak.
Well, Your Honor, something I think we should keep track of is that the defense is really going all over the place, very much like Farhan Behadeen's bowling.
Okay, thank you. No more ad hominem attacks.
So it's difficult to kind of just see what I'm responding to. I would like to keep things consistent in that, fine, I shall concede that mm-hmm. he hasn't scored 100 and that might not be the biggest problem. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because you know what? This is the mindset that players like this get us into. We start conceding and taking
yes.
second best, but hey, that's hearsay. Let's stay away from that.
Let's stay away from the hearsay.
I would like to bring our attention to a recent match. It
yes.
was SA versus England. It was in Southampton recently.
Yes.
And at 211 for 4, the Proteas yes. are looking very good to square the series. And as mentioned by the defence himself, this is a world-class batting lineup. Okay, platforms have been set. Great moments for people who, like Farhan Behadeen, who are there on merit, mm-hmm. who are there to be there. to close things off. Well, Your Honor, I shall proceed to tell you he got 17 of 25, completely ruining the momentum of the team.
Yes.
In a situation which he is, by all counts, an expert in. This wasn't the first time.
Mm-hmm.
There have been numerous occasions that I don't care to talk about right now because I do not want to seem as petty.
Yes.
But still, when you have 14 overs left as a top-class cricketer and all you can do is scramble 17 of 25 to the point the English commentators have run out of words. Now, they're English. All they have is English words.
Yes.
And they don't have any more to talk about how pedestrian the act was. So much so that the other batsmen had to panic to the point where they couldn't even get 8 of 8 in the end. They were so shell-shocked.
I think that's a bit of a jump, but I will agree with you on certain points. I would like to ask the prosecution one thing again, as I ask the defense, what is Mr. Behadeen's role in ODI/T20 cricket?
Nobody knows, Your Honor. Nobody knows because he should not be there.
Okay, and my question further to the prosecution then, and then we'll go back to the defense, is if he should not be there, what was he selected on to be there? And furthermore, who would replace him knowing the guidelines of South African cricket?
Again, look at the grey areas this player creates. Nobody knows what his role is because he's kind of there, but he's kind of going to kind of bowl. He's going to kind of bat. He's not a specialist anything.
Yes.
He's not even a specialist fielder. He knocks the ball over the boundary like a volleyball player.
Okay, thank you enough. Like I said, great ad hominem attacks, but
all right,
won't
all
win
right.
you the case. I go back to my question.
The reason we don't know who's going to replace him because no one gets the chance to. I can give you...
A plethora
of names.
Give me three.
That are not admissible right now.
Yes, I would like to know.
I'll tell you why it is. Okay. Because these names are never given the chance. So why must I get their hopes up in such a high-profile court case?
I'm asking for one name, Mr. Kopinski. One name.
I would give young Markram a chance. Learn his trade in the middle order. Go further up. The guy has done very well domestically. I would even play Hanu Kun down there. Extra wicketkeeper option. There's a multitude of players. I would give... what's the other guy's name?
That's a great name. Andile Phehlekwayo?
Well, he should be in the team to start with. The fact that he... then
okay, no, stop. I don't want to speak any more about him. I just wanted to know I'm asking for...
Your Honor, for personal reference, you've given me a great understanding of the order because I believe, and this is another court case altogether, is that... Andile Phehlekwayo should be given as many chances as possible.
Yes.
But because Feon Beardine's in this team, Phehlekwayo Parnell becomes an axis of selection, and I think that in itself is unfair.
Let's leave it over there on that one. Yes, that's what I was coming right to you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to say that I don't think Phehlekwayo is vying with Beardine for a spot. I think, unfortunately...
I just want to put it to counsel...
Because he's not allowed to.
Wait! I just want to put it to counsel that we've discussed... in depth about Behadeen's role and what he does. I would like to know, is he the best at his role in the country? And I would like to say he's been selected fairly. So I was just hoping that the prosecution would provide another example if he was not.
Thank you, Your Honor. So is he the best in the country? He's probably not. Is he close?
No, in his specific role.
In his
not,
specific
I wouldn't
role.
I wouldn't expect Behadeen to have the same numbers as an AB de Villiers.
Sure. So Ben's referred to Markram and Hanu Kun, who both are looking at opening spots for the next test match.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really comparing apples with peaches.
I agree with that one, Ben.
But we're talking about a cucumber, though.
So I feel that we still haven't reached another name.
Yes.
The case actually is... Is it unfair that he's played 50 ODIs? Should he not even be in the mix? And, you know, a JP Duminy is going to get injured. A David Miller gets injured. Is he the next batsman on the rank who should be batting at six? Is he strike rate coming at number six?
Objection, rhetorical question. Obviously, the answer is no.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kopinski, again.
Is his strike rate around 100 coming at number six, which is what you'd expect? It is. So,
will the defense suggest how on what stats Mr. Behadeen was most likely selected by? I would tend to suggest he was selected more on a domestic standard than he was on his international standard of batting. If the defense chooses to differ, then please let me know.
No, the defense stands by that. I think he's been the best domestic, one of the best domestic performers at finishing an innings. It was actually what a lot of people don't know is he's actually got the fifth fastest ODI 50 for South Africa. Brought it up off 22 balls.
Just objection to against say, who? Against whom?
To say that...
Who was it against?
May I just finish my statement? Yes, it was Your against Honor, Ireland. Your Honor,
thank you, thank Ireland. You, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Kopinski, enough now.
Your Honor, don't
thank
say
you,
cricket.
Mr. Kopinski.
I understand the point being made by Mr. Kopinski that it was against Ireland. The question is, did anybody else do it against Ireland? And the answer
is
no. That is no.
Yeah.
So... he's based it on domestic form. He's been the best finisher for the Titans for a significant period of time. His striking rate at 100 at number 6 when he's coming in with a big platform set. He hasn't got the time, and he's actually a selfless cricketer. A couple of times he'll come in with 3 balls to go, and he'll have a go straight off the bat, which is probably why his average is a lot lower. But I guess that's not based on a fact, so I tend to prefer to stick to the
fact that he won his T20 award this year domestically.
Thank you,
would
Your
you
Honor.
Think it would have contributed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And just over the last few years, in fact, in 2015, his ODI average had gone up to 40, if you measure it from 2015 to date. Mm-hmm. For this year, he's batted 4 times. He scored 36 not out of 20 balls. He scored 32 of 20 balls. His average has actually increased over the more recent time.
And these are his ODI international stats.
That's correct. In 2015, a World Cup year, he averaged 40 at a strike rate of 104. He batted twice in the Cricket World Cup. He scored 10 not out of 5.
Objection, UAE were featured there.
Yes,
he scored 64 not out of 31. And in fact, if you look at his T20 stats, he's batting.
Objection, T20 is not a real game.
We're getting there.
So, really, we're just objecting to facts. So,
Council, would you say that Behadeen, has had enough match-winning moments? I only suggest this because the prosecution keeps on seeming to jump up and say Ireland and UAE and in recent... If you could just... cricket is a factual sport. We can just look at the stats of the data and the amount of runs someone has scored. If you can go... If something off the top of your mind, if you could suggest to us a match-winning performance.
So,
and if Mr. Behadeen is capable of that.
Yes. So as I say, unfortunately, he is batting in a really strong
batting
lineup.
Yes, I understand. I understand.
In the Cricket World Cup, he only got to bat twice.
I understand.
And he played several games at the World Cup.
Yeah.
He's got a 50 of 22 balls. Most recently, he scored 64 not out in under difficult conditions. He actually batted faster than AB de Villiers.
Objection, in a losing cause, Your Honor. Yes. Again,
I've asked counsel, Mr. Kopinski. I've asked him.
If I can just finish my point.
Yes.
Again, we batted first in that game. So. Yes. So really, we needed to put a total on the board.
Yes.
And he came in, I think the score was about 30-odd for 3. Difficult conditions, scored 64 not out. And really, AB de Villiers actually batted slower than him.
Yes. Yes.
He's got erroneous. He's not on trial today.
Yes, that's I understand, Mr. Kopinski.
We're
I'm
using
just
comparisons. Farhan Behadeen actually averages more than AB de Villiers in T20 cricket. So, just getting to the question, does he play those match-winning roles? I would say that, unfortunately, he hasn't really had those opportunities just because of the strength of the batting lineup. I think he's got the ability. Mm. And when we ask the question again, is it ridiculous that he's in the international setup? The stats suggest that it's not.
Okay, I would like to just get through to one more thing. One more thing before I hear closing arguments.
Well, Your Honor, I must object about that.
Okay.
I mean, look, I'm quite...
I was going to help you, Mr. Kopinski.
I'm just in the context, before we get to closing arguments, because I find the longer the defense talks, the greater it is for me, because there is a lot, again, it's like Imre Dahir's pitch map into his cricket.
Yes.
It really is. It's just...
All over the place.
I don't know what to focus on anymore. There's all these ifs and buts.
What was your objection about, Mr. Kopinski?
Well,
okay, yeah, I mean, never mind. Here's my question to both counsel. In the recent summer, the South African T20 team had been captained by Mr. Behadeen. Would defense counsel say rightly so? I'm assuming yes.
I would say absolutely correctly.
Okay. It was a match at the Wanderers, right? Let's place Mr. Behadeen's captaincy, because captaincy is not only your stats, it's other people's stats and other people's abilities that you're managing. And if prosecution will start and rate Mr. Behardin's performance in that match, and if defense afterwards would respond about Mr. Behardin's performance in that match.
Well, Your Honor, I just feel that this case really isn't just going towards my direction right now. It's literally taking the middle. To reference the captaincy of Faan Behardin, I mean, again, I was going to be impartial there as well. I thought, you know what, the guys on pure experience, on the lack of other experience in that team to do that job, give him a go. It didn't go well. But you know what? I don't want to go on that. I want to talk about the fact that he is stifling young talent coming through, not only by having position in his team, but as a captain, Your Honor, and I will push this through.
Yeah,
and I
would
I'd love for this to be taken as seriously, because no doubt defense has yet another story of if and but.
Okay.
As captain, Lungi Ngidi, one of the most talented, fantastic up-and-coming stars, he was on fire in this series, right? Playing at Newlands. Defending a small total, which he no doubt didn't exactly help.
Yeah.
This young star was bowling great again, form of his life. He's just bowled an over, right? An opening bowler, a big, tall, lanky lad.
But Newlands was captained by another player.
No, Faan Behardin was still captaining at Newlands for that.
No, he did Centurion and Wanderers, and Newlands was Faf.
Faf came back, but the captaincy remained with the clients.
I'll go with counsel.
And rather than giving you a chance to rest your fast bowler on the fine legs fence, what he deserves, the player in question put him at extra cover.
Okay, yes.
Where he was fielding on a hard square. The ball came to him. Like any other young talent, he dove at the ball. He made an effort. He wanted to stop it for his country. He was exhibiting Protea fire. He landed on his hip.
Yes.
Now, if I could put it back to the defense, what else has Lungi Ngidi done for the Proteas since then? Nothing. There we go.
Yes.
See, an absence of an answer. He has been unable to play for
the
Proteas.
Thank you, Mr. Kobinski.
Because his captain.
This
is a man.
Has injured him. Yes,
who,
yes.
Forget about the stats.
I'm not going to make
experience can be there. It was just.
I am not going to make a judgment on that, Mr. Kobinski.
It was almost sabotage. So here we've got a guy who's not finishing internationally like he is in domestic, which makes him a bit of a cock tease, if you will pardon my language again, Your Honor. Here's a man who can score 50 runs or 15 balls, gets a Protea shirt on, and he scores 25 of 17 while derailing an
17
honest
of
effort.
25.
Sorry, exactly, 17 of 25. So here we got, again, going back to the pool reference, here's a man's indecisive.
Yes.
He doesn't know whether if he's looking after a pool or if he's getting girls into his pool.
Yes.
And again, Your Honor, let's go back to the defense, because there's no doubt there's a sorry story of how he also runs really quickly in between
the
stumps.
Is the prosecution sure of that? Because they really haven't spoken a lot as much as the defense has spoken at length about their client. If you say that, the next thing you only have is the closing statements.
And I'm fine with that. I think there's enough.
Okay.
There's enough on the table right here, and
Thank
my closing
you.
Statement will prove this.
If the defense would like to make that final push,
sure. So
and how about just address the young star Lungi Ngidi? How about that defense?
Okay.
If nothing else.
So just to show how outrageous this argument is, he's literally blaming Faan Behardin.
Yes.
For the injury for Lungi Ngidi.
Well, I'm glad you're listening.
Injuring himself.
Noted, counsel. Noted.
It's thoroughly outrageous. I like to stick to the facts, rather, as I've said on several occasions.
Yes.
I think just going back to the question.
Facts are alternative facts here.
Thank you, Mr. Kopinski. You'll have your opportunity in the closing statements.
Your Honor's question related to his captaincy. I think that.
And mainly because captaincy is the height of you performing at international cricket.
Correct. So I think if we take context factor
account.
It in,
yeah.
he was captaining a young team.
Yes.
I think he was made captain, you know, taking into account that he was helping through some young players. It's not really his strongest bow. He doesn't really captain the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to take that into context. And so he won his first T20 as captain. He also played a useful knock there. I think he scored
on
31.
On the back of Lungi and Giddy's
Stop
bowling.
Stop it,
I think
Mr.
he scored
Kopinski.
31 off 18. The second game didn't go his way. And again, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that Smuts and Hendricks and Mosekle and Parnell and Pelakwad, Dane Patterson, all these new guys on the block, and he was managing them. And it came to the third T20, and what happened was his strike bowler got injured, and he was left without probably his strongest asset.
Objection, Your Honor. He is now fluffing over this like it was some sort of act of God.
I'm waiting for counsel's argument, Mr. Kopinski.
Your Honor, I feel that you'll be able to determine the facts. I don't think you need to be patronized by Mr. Kopinski with explaining everything. So what we're left with is he's got an injured player, and the game goes down to the last couple of balls. Unfortunately, it goes the wrong way. Are we putting a massive amount of focus on a three-match T20 series against Sri Lanka? No. I don't think that should deter Your Honor from the facts. And the facts are, and I don't know if we're going into closing statements yet.
We've got 10 minutes.
But the statistics remain in his favor. Okay. So when we get to our closing statements, I'll put forward our
final case.
That's fine.
I would like to... The closing statements may begin while I also write down what I feel are the most important parts. So
right,
please don't assume that I'm not listening.
Well, Your Honor, seeing as we've limped into the closing statements in the back of the defense again, just literally clutching for straws here.
Okay.
And he has, throughout this trial, maintained that he has statistically got the upper edge on me. Well, I disagree.
Yes.
And I'd like to bring in my closing statement to start off with the statistic of 33. No, this is not another Taylor Swift song. This is the age of Fionn Berhardin. Not only just 33, but 33 and 263 days.
Oh,
that is very close.
That's almost to 34.
To 34. The numbers are getting worse, are they not? Not only that, there's only 11 players in a cricket team.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three batsmen essentially in the middle order. There is only one essential all-rounder. As the numbers get shorter, so does Mr. Fionn Berhardin's career in the Proteas shirt. Yes, mm-hmm. I will concede that domestically he has been a fantastic, and I'm sure he's probably punched above his weight, woman-wise, in the Greater Pretoria region on the back of what he's done for the Titans. But this is the Proteas we're talking about here. While we live in a country where states, organizations, and bodies are captured day by day by another entity for another trial, we cannot let complacency capture the Proteas. And I think by endorsing a player like Fionn Berhardin, who has not, let's be honest, done amazing things with his 56 caps. Sure, he's done certain things. And as my opponent today has alluded to on various occasions, he has okay stats. He hides behind the fact that these stats tell a different story, though. A stat is just a number. Can you believe this man has got dressed in court today to come here and compare a man like Ben Stokes with Fionn Berhardin? I think on the basis of that, not only am I going up against someone who is deluded, but who's not taking this court seriously today. And if he can't take the court seriously today, he's certainly not taking the Proteas national team seriously today. And that is why he is defending this man right here. And Your Honor, I don't think I can even say any more.
Good closing statement, Ben. I like that last part with the dressing stuff. Yeah. defense counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think that we mustn't lose sight of the facts. The prosecution has purposely steered away from the facts throughout the proceedings. We mustn't lose sight of the argument that Your Honor has to decide. The fact that Berhardin has played 50 odd ODIs, 30 T20s. He's not on 200 ODIs. He's not on 300 ODIs. We're not talking about a man who is starting in every game. The argument is really whether he deserves to be in the international setup. Does he warrant his spot in the 15-man squad? The prosecution has failed to mention somebody who can take his spot. And in the absence of that, the prosecution must lose. If you are going to come here and say Berhardin doesn't deserve to be in the 15-man squad, you've got to come here and say, we've got 3, 4, 5, 6 players, all who are better. There seems to be an unfair lambasting of Berhardin on social media, and I've got to ask what's actually behind that, and that's really what started this whole conversation. We've got a player who has a strike rate of almost 100 coming in at number 6, which is what you want from your number 6. He's got an average of over 30, which, given the fact that he's coming in behind the best top order in the world, is warranted. He's averaging over 35 since 2015. He's got between him and David Miller, they jostle for the highest average in the T20 team. And in the current team in particular, it's between him and David Miller, who's got, they both have a higher average than an AB de Villiers. So you've got a player who's clearly capable. He's got the strike rate, which warrants his position. He's got an average in T20 cricket, which is the best in the Proteas team, or second best. I think he's within a run of Miller, and they jostle between the two. And then we've got the prosecution coming here and saying that despite all the facts, essentially, because they're steering away from the statistics, that despite all that, he doesn't deserve a spot in the 15-man squad, is essentially their case. Your Honour, I think you've heard enough. I think the facts talk for themselves, and I'll leave it in your capable hands to make the right decision.
In the words of Judge Judy Shinden, the cases are real, the people are real, and the judgment is final. I will now deliberate for a few seconds.
If I may just say one more thing.
If you're going to say one more thing, prosecution would have to say one more thing as well.
It's not
then.
Related to the case.
Okay, that's fine.
I just want to say, if Bayardin's glove fits, he must be acquit.
He must acquit. The glove don't
See,
fit.
Your Honor, he's not even making sense in his badly timed jokes towards
No, Mr. Kopinski, I will charge you with contempt of court.
Of course
again.
His glove will fit. It's his glove. Okay. It doesn't mean he's scoring a 50 with it attached to a bat.
Okay. Let me start my judgment. I think what we've... Okay. Well, I think what the case of the people versus Behadeen needs to understand, we have to look at a very crucial word that I feel both counsel failed or just borderline acceptable. We didn't place it in context well enough. Yes, defense counsel relied on a lot of statistics, and Mr. Kopinski's counsel relied on a lot of funny quips, which were just as good as the statistics.
Your Honor, funny by default is not a curse.
It is not, and I have a little bit of bias towards that, but we must look at it in a context. And if we're going to look at all the stats, there was a very crucial stat. In this case, we had to look at, can he make a 15-man squad right now? And Mr. Kopinski said he's 33, almost 34. We've counted with his strike rate. And to be honest, his strike rate is high. But in the modern age, I would struggle to find a cricketer between 1 and 7 that does not have a high strike rate. Maybe if he's some type of guy that hasn't been given a chance, that would probably be a low strike rate. But with 56 caps, you'd feel that Mr. Behadeen and once of his 56 would have pulled off a reason for him to actually be there. I feel that what South African cricket has allowed at the moment is that we have a lot of bit part players. Players that rely on a high strike rate. Players that rely on having, they can bowl a little bit and they can bat. And the counsel for the defense suggested that Behadeen is our Ben Stokes, which I think outlandish at some points.
Look at the stats.
I have looked at the stats, counsel, and I must say that I feel that Ben Stokes' BMT is probably a bit more than the stats right there. When I look at my notes, I look at Behadeen's his domestic stats. Domestically, superb player. But have we come to a point where we all go, domestically gives us enough reason to place a 56-game run trust into the player? And I feel that he fell short on that. Domestically, great speaking, but not really that good when it comes internationally. Mr. Kopinski mentioned that he hasn't scored 100, and I didn't accept that. I agree. He comes in at number 6, he comes in at number 7, what we're expecting. But what Mr. Kopinski did mention is that he did recently score 17 of 25, which if we have to look at that, doesn't quite fulfill the 97% strike rate that he has, or that he's better than AB de Villiers. As I wrap up now, we started off with saying that he's conservative and too nice, and that I feel he was in every T20 series, especially the last one in summer, and that's why I directed us there. Because too conservative, too nice, and we landed up with Jean-Jean Smuts bowling the last over instead of someone as mean as Andile Petlakwaya. Does he stifle talent, a growth of talent? I feel there is a moment where, yes, Andile Petlakwaya should have closed the bowling. He is a death bowler. There is a moment for him to shine. Did he injure Lungi Ngidi?
Yes.
No, he did not. I cannot say that. And so what I have to conclude is that Feha Behardeen has taken a lot of time into the pH level of his pool and not into his ability in holding a spot in a 15-man squad. And if we could rest our case right now, Mr. Behardeen has come to the end of his international career with the Proteas.
Order for you in hot pants.
All right, guys, that wraps up. Some
I just want to say one thing. Great defensive argument. Yeah. Great one.
We unfortunately run out of time, but guys, thanks so much for joining us today in this. Throwing it out there, one side or another side. Catch the full podcast on thebounce.co.za, and everything else will be on thebounce.co.za, the whole blog post with all the different links, how you can find these guys, and that's about it. The future of Proteas cricket, onwards and upwards. And if Lungu and Gidi could please just be put in the right place in the field. Don't know how much more I can say. That really broke my nuts when he went down. It really did. Seriously, it broke my spirit. Catch you back for the Balance Show next week, right here on cliffcentral.com.
Thanks for having me.
Cliffcentral.com.